Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today is the January the 16th.
17th.
Okay.
T-minus 3 days.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
It's
so bad.
I don't even know how to feel. Like,
I'm scared.
I'm legitimately scared for our country. I'm not even just scared for black people. I'm scared for our country.
No, for the country. Yeah, it's more than that's
us. I'm scared for our country. On the one hand, I keep saying, no, it's sunk in. But then I keep thinking, there's no way it's sunk in yet that Donald Trump is going to be president, because it's so surreal.
It's bizarre.
Like, the shit that happens every day. Like, there's so much shit that even a year ago would have been, you know, unconscionable.
Like, grounds for impeachment.
Anybody else from that GOP field that he started out with. Like, unconscionable. It would have been all kinds of uproar and outrage. But the thing is, like, with Trump, there's so much shit.
That's what it is.
That, like, the press can't even focus. And usually the press ends up going with whatever he's tweeting about at the moment. But there's, like, he lied about the amount of debt he's in. He said he was in, like, a few hundred thousand dollars of debt. He's in an extra $1.5 billion in debt. And then it's like, who is that debt to? And
a lot of that's to Russia, which is why Putin got him.
Exactly. Done. And it's like his campaign is being investigated for improper campaign contributions. But there's little things that's just been like blip, because
it's so much.
It's so much.
He still hasn't really divested from his business.
And he's not going to.
He has no plans to. I mean, there's a hundred.
Like, your man had a press conference.
And was wild.
And we talked about this in last week's show. Your man had a press conference and literally started the press conference to be like, I actually have no conflicts of interest as president. Yeah. Which is true, which is legally true. But only because the forefathers never thought that somebody who was taking the office of president would need to have legal sanctions placed against them to act fucking presidential and serve the interests of the country over his own interests.
The thing about this dude,
he's going to turn the office on his ear. Like, the office of president is never going to be the same.
Well, what's interesting is, like, when you watch a lot of the news shows now, and I don't just mean the MSNBC ones, which tend to lean more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even CNN, and, you know, I don't watch Fox too tough, but, like, even a lot of those people who are kind of, like, rocking out.
Right.
You still have your hardcore ones who just, like, you know, fuck that. But then even some of the quote-unquote conservatives are kind of, like, you can tell they're kind of like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, this is like he's not, this is not stopping. Like, I think a lot of them, for some reason,
they
thought he would stop. Like, okay, once he gets in, he's going to be presidential.
Well, that's what happened, once, right? First, you don't even have to worry about all the craziness that Trump is saying, because it's not like he's going to win the primary. So it's like, let's run these speeches. Let's run these talking points. Ha, 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 Trump said he was going to do this.
Mm.
The day the media paused was the day when he was like, I'm not going to do the debate. I'm going to do my own fucking town hall and make everybody watch my shit. And all of a sudden, everybody was like, what? What's happening? And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, but how can he do this? And what does he do? But, okay, your man won the primary. Then it was, okay, now that he's won the primary, he's going to pivot. And he didn't fucking pivot.
He doesn't pivot.
Then it was like, if he wins the election, he will act presidential. He gave one great speech. I want to be a president for all America.
But then went right back. He read that speech.
Right. And then went right back to his bullshit. And, like, we're 3 days out from, and then, like, every once in a while he would go on a tweet storm. They rein him in a little bit. Go on tweet storm. Now it's like, fuck it. And I think his team, like, first of all, Brandon doesn't give a fuck if Trump succeeds. Brandon wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
So Brandon is probably encouraging all kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
is. He's like, nah, go do this.
I promise you, there's a lot of conflict on his team. Not that, and not based on his team wanting to be good people. Although, right. I mean, I'm assuming there might be a couple of good people on his team, right? But it's not really that. It's just like, I think at this point, even like the Kellyanne Conways and some of the other ones are like, fam, you gotta chill. Like, yeah. and he's not chilling. And I'm
sure that Brandon's in his head like, Brandon's like,
go crazy.
He's like, do it.
And his son's just like, go crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what Ivanka's doing, but I think the next firestorm of many is going to be his speech at the inauguration. Like, I think he's going to get up there. I think he's going to write him some shit. He's going to say some of that shit. And then he's going to be looking out there and looking at the people cheering and, the, you know, people with the flags and all that. And right. he's going to go way off script. And he's going to get up there and start wilding out. I think Friday, his speech is going to be, like, damn near on some Hitler Nuremberg shit. Like, he's going to get up there and wild out. Because he's his ego. He can't, mm-hmm. like, when he gets the people in front of him, he's going to go crazy on the press. He's going to go crazy on Obama. Like, he's going to go crazy. He's going to tell people Russia's good. Like, he's going to, yeah, it's just nuts to me. Right. I can't message a man at all, man. He's trash. I'm just hoping he don't make the 4 years, man. At this point, it's over.
He's not. There's no way he's going to make the 4 years. There's no way he's going to make 4 years either. And I stand by what I said in the beginning. Either the pressure's going to get to him or he's going to resign. Or he's going to resign.
Like, or get impeached.
Or he's going to resign to avoid getting impeached, yeah. which is what Nixon did.
Yeah.
But either way, there's no way. There's no way.
Because most of the rest of the world ain't gonna fuck with him. But anyway, let's try to just do something a little more fun than that. Russell.
I'm
fuck that nigga, man.
I mean,
yeah, basically. Hey, y'all got any shout outs? We haven't done that in a long time.
Shout out to our first lady for 3 more days. Well, shout out to our first lady for 3 more days, Michelle Obama. It's her birthday.
Our word. Happy birthday.
I'm so sad. I am. I'm just so...
Everybody's sad. Happy shout out to your peoples.
Which peoples?
Your sorority.
Oh, well, I did that last show. Founders Day.
Oh, okay.
Because I said by the time it went up. But okay, shout out to the ladies at Alpha Kappa Alpha who celebrated their Founders Day on the 15th. Ladies at Zeta Phi Beta who celebrated their Founders Day today.
Okay.
Maybe yesterday. Yesterday. Shout out to Martin Luther King who's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, he's disgusted.
Oh my God.
You got any shout outs, bro?
I actually do got a shout out. Shout out to a journalist, Nicole Hannah Jones. I listened to a podcast on NPR, Fresh Air, and she had a piece in the New York Times about the systematic segregation of schools.
Mm.
And it's really, really interesting. It's definitely worth the listen. It's only about an hour.
Okay.
I haven't read the piece yet, but basically this is a woman who is, of a certain class, of a certain amount of affluence, and has chosen to enroll her daughter into public school and really got this really eye-opening awakening about how, and this is something that we know as New Yorkers, you know, these sort of fucking hipster, air quote, mm-hmm. liberals, and they're all for equality and diversity until they have to adjust to being diverse.
Exactly.
And giving up the
advantages. It's good talking.
Yes.
But it's different when it actually has to go down.
Like, and one of the things that was really poignant was, you know, they talked about equality is someone being able to give up their advantages.
Yeah.
And nobody really wants to do that.
Hell no.
So it's just a great listen. I'm sure that if the piece is anything like, the podcast, it was totally. I actually tweeted it out today too. It's okay. Really, really good. Shout out to her.
Okay. I got a shout out, man. Hey, man. Shout out to all y'all dudes and ladies to our guests, but it seems like more dudes getting these bad veneers, man. Every time I see these people
sweat.
These big ass white
Chris Rocks,
yo,
yeah.
Bruh, I was looking at your man, because he was showing the Falcons game, Ryan Cameron. He got the big, yo, like yo, like, don't people understand? They don't be fitting right. They be mad big in your mouth. Don't that shit be feeling weird?
I mean, that's probably.
It should be rotten.
But I think also some people who get veneers, by the time they get them, their original teeth were probably worn down a little bit. Damn. So maybe when the dentist are fitting them for it, they overcompensate, thinking that they're bringing them back to it. I don't know. Also, I'm making up shit.
Nah, they probably just ain't spending the coin. Like everything else,
some paper.
That don't mean that they spending it on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm serious. I think a lot of dudes, I think especially men, you know what I'm saying, will spend money on a car. We'll spend Gators. Money on some funny looking high top sneakers out of Neiman's with some
Rick Owens, baby.
With some gold buckles and shit. And you know, and then when it come down to, you know what I'm saying, paying your motherfucking healthcare premium, now you want to negotiate.
Yeah, now you want to negotiate. I ain't paying that $25 a month.
Yeah, that's too much. I ain't paying that copay. Come on, nigga. What we talking about, man?
Jimmy and them give me some veneers and you just put them in. So that's why, I mean, I just been seeing bad veneers lately, man. It's been kind of like, I mean, God bless that I don't have to get them.
Right.
So I guess I shouldn't be talking shit, you know, but damn. I'm going to give a quick, I just went to see Hidden Figures. Finally.
Oh, how is it?
It's excellent.
I still need to go. I was going to try to go yesterday, but
it's an excellent movie. It really is.
And shout out to them because they're coming in at number one for the second weekend in a row.
Beating Star Wars.
Yeah, they were number one last weekend, number one this weekend, but shout out to the K's on that, because all three of those women were AKAs. So for Founders Day...
I knew Catherine was, but I didn't know
all three of them were. So for Founders Day, AKAs in the theaters, like, bam, 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 yeah.
They didn't mention AKA in the movie.
Well, they don't really show a lot of them. I saw the movie as well.
They don't show a lot.
They don't show a lot of them in college. They show...
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know that would be...
But, I mean, actually, they might have just mentioned it, like, in socializing.
There was nothing really subtle, I guess is what you're saying, right? Like, there was no pin, or there were no... There was nothing no sort of... Yeah, like there was nothing really sort of indicating that.
But it's interesting, Well, there's the one part when she's beefing, you know, there's a part when they talk about how the woman is supposed to dress, with a skirt below the knee and da-da-da, and pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain doesn't have any pearls. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but pearls is an AKA.
Yeah. Actually pretty much all black sororities like
you. Oh, is it? I thought it was AKA was the focus on pearls.
AKAs have 20 pearls. We have 9 pearls.
Oh, it's numbered.
Yeah, there's a certain number.
Oh. But she does get, I guess that's a little bit of a spoiler, but she does get pearls.
Nigga, if you ain't seen the movie yet, go on.
But it's an excellent movie. I mean, all three of the actresses are phenomenal. Janelle Monáe got a long career ahead of her as an actress. She's been in 2 blockbusters now, Moonlight and Hidden Figures.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And it keeps you interested.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it keeps you interested from top to bottom. I mean, it's a little Disney-fying of it, I'm sure, but I'm glad you said it because it didn't bother me because I expected the Disney.
I'm okay with that though. Right. Like I'm okay with it because the essence of the story doesn't change.
No.
Right? Like what they contributed doesn't change.
Yeah, exactly.
And so yes, like the facts are still the facts. I mean, I definitely don't think that the white man went and took a sledgehammer to the colored only bathroom. But God bless, and we got to make him seem like that guy.
He's tough. He's doing heart of gold.
Yes, he's doing right.
He's tough exterior, but he's got a heart of gold.
Upstanding white man.
Exactly. He's upstanding white man. Deep down, even though he's tough, he's fair.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so you get that, and John Glenn is a very gregarious, nice guy, which I think he actually was in real life. I'm not saying he had those interactions with them. Like, I know him and Catherine, I keep calling her Catherine, I'm playing myself. She's a 98-year-old woman. Ms. Johnson. I definitely am not in a position to call her by her first name.
Right.
Put a handle on it, boy.
Put a handle on it.
Ms. Johnson and John Glenn apparently did develop like a friendship over time. Like,
that makes sense. You know,
because she did more than that mission. She was there. She went through the space shuttle.
She was there up until, I believe, like 82 or something like that.
Yeah, that was the space shuttle.
Then
she got the.
And one of them lives like right in Jersey, or did all of them?
No, Ms. Johnson. Well, Ms. Johnson lives in Virginia. I don't know where.
I saw somebody, one of my friends shouted out, one of them was like, oh my God, this lady helped me out so much in high school, but like, he's from Jersey, so I'm
okay. Did he go to college? Oh, it was high school, you said, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. They don't talk about where they live. The movie's based in Hampton, because that's where NASA was at the time, but It was a really good movie. I mean, I highly recommend it. Like, you'll clap at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's a great, highly uplifting movie. Gotta yell out to, what we gonna do now? We're gonna do A-Long?
Time.
Let me do the good side of the gospel before I go on to the A-Long side.
Okay.
So, there's a controversy about, who said something recently about the gays being bad? It was very recent. Kimberell. So, during the course of that, I was on the Twitter, and I saw this pastor named E. Dewey Smith. Look at this nigga laughing already. Making jokes. So E. Dewey Smith, but he had some interesting things to say. He basically was saying, I don't understand why the church folk keep going after gays when there's so many gays within the church.
Well, E. Dewey Smith also, if it's the same pastor,
it's the same one from Atlanta.
He's good for preaching. Like, if y'all gonna really preach Old Testament,
didn't really do
go
it.
Through all of it. Like, yeah. Are you eating shellfish? Are you wearing mixed blends? Are you doing, yes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's going he through all, are you, the, do you have tattoos?
It shows the hypocrisy of a lot of it. Exactly. So he had a whole sermon on, you know, it's okay for the choir director to be like that, but then when it comes time to, you know, do some other things, now you're all against the gays. But when it comes time for so-and-so to make your dress, then it's like, so he was doing it. So I was like, this guy's, and he's, you know, a fairly young, looks about his mid-40s. And I was like, I kind of like this dude. So I looked him up. He actually is the pastor of his church in Atlanta called House of Hope. There's two. There's one in Macon, and there's one in Atlanta. House of Hope is where we were laughing. They were doing service. They were singing like a rap song or something.
They doing a hippity hop gospel?
Yeah, hippity hop gospel. We were laughing about it. I forget exactly what they did, but we had a big laugh about it. But anyway, so I've been watching him on Sunday mornings. Okay. So I just wanted to shout him out.
Streaming him? Or?
Streaming him. Yeah, you can go to House of Hope. You know, ATL.com and watch him live on Sunday. And I like him. Yeah. You know what I mean? This time I'm in
Atlanta.
I
know that clip. I actually do like him. Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing at his name because he's such a country.
Oh, and he owns the country.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, I'm country now. Like, But I just want to say for the people, you know, if you don't get to get up in the morning and make it out on
Sunday.
Get
your bedside Baptist.
Get your bedside Baptist. You know, if it's cold and raining and stuff like that, you can't make it to the church, check out Pastor Dewey Smith. But Eddie Long passed away this past week after a long battle with believed to be cancer. His daughter mentioned something on the gram about cancer. You kick cancer's butt as long as you could or something like that. So, cancer. There was rumors of other things, but cancer. He was a very controversial pastor. He was a huge pastor in Atlanta, as many of us know. He was like, for a minute, probably him and Creflo were the two biggest guys in Atlanta. He was in movies. He was in, you know, Tyler Perry movies. You know, had a massive
about 30,000 member church.
Yeah, massive mega church. And then came accusations of canoodling with some of the boys in the church. Never really proven to be true, correct?
Nothing that I've read has been proven. They were all allegations.
But they paid some of the boys off, though. And that's what made it kind of funky.
Well,
correct me if I'm wrong now, Deacon Young.
From what I've read, I don't necessarily know that Eddie Long personally paid them off.
The church
I would not be surprised if the trustees, in an effort to quiet this, said we need to make this go away because this is becoming more of a distraction, which we don't want to, you know, we tend to think of the church as these sort of small, you know, storefront churches, and it's usually run by you know, your uncle who worked for the city and your aunt. Well, in these mega churches,
These are corporations.
Okay, these are people's full-time jobs. The people who are on the trustee boards are, you know, people with doctorate degrees. These are certified. Yes, these are lawyers. Yeah. These are professional people who, you know, render their services to the church and for the church's business.
You have real meetings.
Yes. Closed door.
Real heavy meetings.
So they probably, that's what I'm thinking happened because I didn't see anything that was concrete.
He'll be lying in state. I'm reading here. He'll be lying in state before his services. His services are January 25th. And he'll be lying in state the day before. It's just a very interesting guy. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, he's a big mega pastor, and he had all these, accusations about him. But again, on the other side, I'm sure there's a ton of people in Atlanta who he really helped. And married people and counseled people, and so like the being a pastor, obviously, especially at a big mega church, comes with a lot of responsibilities. And when something like this happens, and somebody dies, especially shrouded in some controversy, as I saw on Twitter during the course of the week, you get kind of like two sides. You get some people saying, "How are y'all gonna say sorry? You're sorry for this guy dying when he ruined these kids' lives and da da da." But then you have people who have been members of his church for 25 years and know him and know his family, and like I said, have been around him and been to the church cookout and the church picnic, and he married somebody, and he baptized this one, and so it's just a very interesting thing.
Look, man, he obviously has a family.
Yeah,
there are people who care about him. I don't know what transpired with those boys. And when we say boys, I mean, they were young men. I don't want to,
Yeah, it wasn't like they were like 7 years old.
Yeah, so that's...
Not that it makes it right.
I mean, but there was definitely a power dynamic from the stories being told that was being abused and being used. I don't necessarily remember if these kids were of legal age. And when I say kids, again, I'm an old nigga from New York, so they're kids to me.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of blurring of the lines between homosexuality and pedophilia. There was a lot of just immediate and intense accusations about him. And, you can do the research. A 64, 63-year-old black man dying of cancer is very likely.
Yeah,
it's a very likely thing. So I'm not here to
bash. I'm not here to bash. He meant something in the black church community, and I think it deserved a mention. You got anything to say about it, Nye?
I don't.
Okay.
rest in peace, that's basically. His legacy is tarnished. His legacy was tarnished, unfortunately, and But, there are still people who are mourning him. There are still people who loved him.
A lot of people are going to come out to his service. Sidebar. In Sydney, Australia, they did a deep sea search for the missing Malaysian plane, MH370. Still ain't found nothing.
Yeah, I feel bad for the families.
I totally feel bad for the families, but you know what? They family members ain't dead. They family members up in the skies with the aliens. They up in the sky with the aliens. They probably getting good care.
What's gonna happen when they find this plane? Like, because somebody gonna go and try and find this motherfucking plane now to get some sort of reward or something.
They ain't gonna find a plane. Plane up in the sky with the aliens.
All right.
Plane in the galaxies right now. I mean, I feel bad for the families because it's a lot of people.
No closure. Yeah, that's what's unfortunate. But I think they
spent $145 million between three countries trying to find this plane.
It's a lot of coin.
It's a lot of coin, and they ain't found nothing. So
yeah.
By the way, sidebar. I read that they think they found some bones from Amelia Earhart on some deserted island somewhere in the Caribbean. It says the plane crashed, she made it to the island and lived her last days out on the island. I'm just telling you what, Miss Amelia was out on the island.
Where?
Let me look it up for you now while we're here talking, because I want to make sure I don't get it right.
How do they reckon?
Because they got the DNA stuff.
How they got Amelia's DNA? From what?
well, you know, they probably got a piece of hair.
Got an old comb, and she died in like 1930 something.
They probably got some eerie evidence that Amelia Earhart died a castaway. God damn it! Now hold on.
The Inquirer.
No, right here in the New York Post. Right in New York Post.
Oh man. Yeah, man.
Listen. The plane was last seen on July 2nd, 1937.
Yeah.
I'm good. It said a woman in Melbourne at one point they even had picked up her frequency saying she had a distress call. And, they think,
you ain't never meet no Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King. they say the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery believes that Earhart safely landed her plane in 1937 and died a castaway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know what you're not, but in here, the New York Post is what it said.
That actually seems... Well, somebody's going to say this is fucked up for me to say, but for, and I'm sorry for wrestling, y'all, I'm looking for my charger, but for Amelia Earhart, as, you know, brave and adventurous she was, dying as a castaway kind of seems like some cool shit for her.
She probably was on the island chilling. I mean, she might have been on that island for quite a long time.
I mean, hopefully, you know, she ain't like...
Might have lost
starved to death or something.
Exactly. Y'all trying to make this shit sound sexy. You see on the island of holes, you trying to fish, you probably burning up in the motherfucker. You don't know what's on the island, motherfucker. You know,
the
like
Zika.
Yeah, the Zikas, you know, motherfucking wild dogs or some shit out there, man. Come on, that shit's probably terrifying.
Oh,
you motherfuckers,
man.
Making it seem like she out there with Wilson.
Yeah, she probably was out there with, you know, drinking the coconut juice and eating pineapples.
Probably like day three, she probably is going out of her motherfucking mind.
I mean, she might have been. Maybe she starved to death. I don't really want to think about it.
Maybe she had a book. Had the good book with her. Read the book. Read a good Bible. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Gone to glory.
Yeah. Circus gone.
I knew this was coming because they made an announcement last year that they weren't going to use elephants in the circus anymore.
Yeah, stop the elephants. And they'd be getting so much pressure from PETA to take all the animals
right
out.
But Ringling Brothers is a big top circus. Like, it's a three-ring, big-top circus.
With animals.
If you don't have the animals, you ain't got the show.
Niggas like, doing backflips and some niggas riding motorcycles with them balls.
Universal already got a lock on that. Like, Universal will be fine because they're entertainment. They're entertainment-based. Like, they don't use animals, right?
Yeah.
But Ringling Brothers is the greatest show on earth. It's tricks. It's big. It's big game animals, too, and exotic.
Here's a dirty little secret about the circus. It was expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
That's costs are crazy.
It was expensive for a consumer. If you were a family of four and you wanted to get decent seats, not even great
seats.
It's
like $60 a pop or something like that.
You were definitely spending $400. You were spending $400.
That's without food and all the bullshit.
Like, easy.
Yeah.
That's $700.
Because you got to buy toys and kind of candy and food.
You got to buy shit. $60 is like you up in the top tier.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I don't even think I think the cheapest ticket.
I haven't been to the damn circus in so long.
I mean, and that was probably when my kids were circus age. So we're talking like at least 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it was expensive. I understand there are massive costs associated with that, but transporting animals, moving animals.
Transporting everybody.
Yeah.
Doing it safely, right? Like,
right.
Doing it in a humane, safe way. Well, as humane
as they can. Well, and that's the key, right? The humanity. Because all the things that made the circus and the fair and carnivals what they were back in the day, people don't support those forms of entertainment right now. So, like, freak shows.
What's it called, too?
Animals doing tricks.
The aquariums is fucked
up. Yeah, or like animals doing all kinds of tricks and having big animals dressed up and doing shit. Like, people now are like, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, so all, because a lot of it was exploitive, right? And
the little people.
Yeah, having
them out of cannons and all that shit.
All kind of shit and having, you know, dogs.
Shoot Earl out that cannon.
So, like, people, and you know, like, people now are hip to, like, you know, what are the wages? What's the labor? What are you doing? You know, like, how are you treating yourself? So it's like, It was only a. Unfortunately, the circus in its traditional sense and the carnival in its traditional sense have
you've also limited. You're also very limited in the spaces that you can hold these events.
True.
Right.
Right. Like, we're talking about Madison Square Garden, just had a complete revamp, right?
Right.
Like, I don't necessarily know they kind of want the elephants shitting all over the place. And, you know what I'm saying? It just became very dated. And guess what? It was probably great in 1940 when you didn't have television.
And you ain't had Netflix.
You couldn't just, watch some shit on your television.
The other thing is, kind of to what you alluded to earlier, now, and then also kind of a scaled down thing, but, I'm reaching here and I'm talking total shit because I don't know. But I got to feel like a part of this, not the main part, but a piece of this too, was they weren't getting any of us to come. Could we go Universal? Soul Circus.
Or we just don't go
because he says way too expensive, or we wait. Because Universal Soul Circus, every time I drive past it when it's in New York, it's flooded. So it's like, it seems like that's more catered towards us and black folks. Us and I should say black and brown folks, because a lot of Latin people go to Universal Soul Circus as well. So it's catered towards us and our cultures, the music, the dancing, the nuances and stuff. So it's kind of like, not that black folks, minorities, held up the circus, but I think that probably within the last 10 years, they probably saw a massive drop-off in whatever they had.
I don't think it's just minorities. I think that kids don't necessarily want to go to the circus
anymore. They talked about the fact that there was a drop-off.
Period?
Just in general.
Okay.
And I cannot think that you have a drop-off that would be significant enough without thinking about how Universal Soul Circus is affecting that bottom line.
Yeah.
Right. You have to consider that.
Because they seem to be chugging along nice.
Well, yeah, because it's a more intimate setting, and they found their niche. Honestly, man, the last time I had gone to Ringling Brothers, it was not a great experience. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the other thing, too. If the fucking kid is like 900 feet away from everything.
Yeah. After a while, I'll say, what are we doing here? Yeah, it's bullshit.
So
I just want to mention that they're going up to Glory. They're going to do a few more shows and end this thing. Let's talk a little bit about Sugar Hill
First Family Hip Hop Show.
Can you talk about this? Y'all didn't work on this, did you?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
No.
After Real Housewives. After Real Housewives, which we'll get into, they just premiered the First Family Hip Hop, which is a show about the Robinson family who owns Sugar Hill Records. For those who don't know, I doubt there's any that don't, but for those who don't know, Sugar Hill Records was a label started, I think, in 78?
Yeah.
Out of Englewood, New Jersey, by Joe and Sr. and Sylvia Robinson. Sylvia was a singer of some note in the 70s. She married Joe, who was a...
What's she sing?
She sung Pillow Talk.
I think she wrote
Love on a Two-Way Street.
Okay.
She might have wrote one other one, too, by the moments. Because they all from Jersey, too. Ray Goodman and Brown, they all from that same area. And Joe Sr., who was, a man of questionable repute, and I would say, probably kind of like the Huggins Brothers.
You know what I'm saying?
Shade older than them, though.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Nothing too crazy, but...
Yeah, you don't fuck around.
You don't want them problems, big fella.
You don't want old Joe no money. So they put out Rapper's Delight and got three kids from the area. Well, two kids from the area, one kid from the Bronx. Put out Rapper's Delight. Obviously, become a worldwide massive hit. Still sells and gets sampled and redone to this day. Commercials, it's made. Mm-hmm. They can't even count how much money just that song is made. And then they, own some publishing on some other songs, and they've made a bunch of money. And so Joe died probably 20 years ago, Sylvia died maybe 12 to 13 years ago. And this is about, and then they had another son, Joey Jr. He died, I think, in 2009.
Oh, damn.
And there was another brother named Scoochie. I think he died in 2010.
No, Joey died, I think, like 13 or something.
Yeah, you're right. Joey died much more recently. Yeah. Maybe Scoochie died a little earlier.
Yeah.
And so Leland is the last son, and he's the one trying to kind of hold it together. And this show is about...
But hold what together? Like, what is there to hold together? Have they had a business going on?
There's something to hold together now.
There's a publishing business because they make a lot of money from people sampling their records. They own Apache. They obviously own the Moments stuff, and the Moments were sampled by, among other things, by Hov and Alicia Keys. The dun dun dun. That's the Moments. So they made a ton of money off that. So the publishing definitely drives the boat. But this show is about the younger ones. The grandkids of Sylvia and Joe Robinson and the nieces and nephews or whatever, trying to get the label going.
For what, though? The show sounds
stupid. Because, you know, you can tell...
Bravo wanted to get into the hip-hop shit, and they just picked the most random...
You could tell what the pitch was, this is a real-life empire.
That's exactly what...
That's exactly what you could tell. Joe was supposed to be like Lucius.
Right.
And Joe's got an ex-wife who still is always around. He got a baby mother who's wears a waist trainer, kind of like a Raleigh type thing.
Right.
And you know, so you got these multiple kids, young and old, and the kids all fighting for the spot to be. It's totally was Empire. So they had the first episode on. What do we think about the episode, bro?
I don't think the show is good. I just don't think it's well made. It doesn't.
You mean production value or just period?
Yeah, just period. Like it just doesn't. It doesn't feel. It's not really interesting. Like none of those people were compelling enough for me to watch. Like, I mean, I would probably watch just for
just the sake of watching.
Yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not engaged in what it is, right? Like, because you know the music is whatever.
Yeah,
I don't like the way that young man talks to his girl.
Yeah, that was crazy. So that was, by the way, you may remember him, Leland's son. I forget Darnell.
Darnell.
Uh-huh. He was on. I don't know if you remember. He was on. What's that shit called? Sweet 16?
16, yeah.
I never watched, I only watched a few of those.
Okay, well, he was on there. And Rihanna gave him, like, a Rolex at that point, and they threw him a big Sweet 16 party and all this. So his fame kind of came from being on that, but he's, like, 27 now, so that's, like, 11 years ago.
And he probably ain't done shit since then.
Not really.
So none of these motherfuckers have jobs, actual jobs?
No.
No?
Lady Luck is on there, because I guess she's a cousin.
She's a cousin.
And
she's,
which one of them is dating that girl, Samaya?
That's Lady Luck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're dating, and Samaya
bought She's trying to be signed to the label.
Not Samaya, but Lady Luck is trying to get right and produce, and it's a lot clown going on. Shit.
I heard the house look crazy. Talk about the house. Can we talk about the house?
Well, the house...
Because I heard about the house.
House is very dated.
Yes. you know, the house definitely... look, man, I always say this, like, when you own a home, you have got to put aside money
to keep
yearly for upkeep.
Yep.
It is not just about sort of basic maintenance. It's about, like, you look up and it's 12 years. Like, yeah, man, that fucking stucco is dated. Like, get that shit out of here. Yeah. Like, to me, I've always felt like if you own a home, it should not take you. You should be able to put your house on the market.
And whenever you want to get a decent rehab
to get basic fair market value. That's like insane. Yeah. Like to
you
me,
can tell they ain't done nothing to that house.
And now they probably own that home outright. They probably
ain't no mortgage on the house. Ain't no mortgage on the house.
Well, you know, sometimes you know it's always that kid that wanted I'm gonna open up a laundromat or some shit. Now he done took out a reverse mortgage or opened up an equity line or some shit like that.
I can see Sylvia. I can see Sylvia and Joe paying that house.
They make so much money. I'm positive. Listen, they're not missing any meals. That's just about whether or not they want to do this. It's not a matter of do they have the cash to do this. I mean, clearly they can. But it's also, you know, look, it's a family business, right? Like, and if they're paying for all of these other things, I mean, I'm sure they have to fund that stuff throughout. you know, with yeah. that with that money. So, you know, again, you know, the idea is that, you know, you're sitting on a pile of money and then that's it. I'm pretty sure there's a lot that goes into, you know, what Leland is managing. And
I also think that's why Leland, I think one of the reasons Leland has this label is as a tax write-off and to run things through the label so he can kind of, you know, kind of
capitalize
and bounce the books out. You know what I'm saying?
He can capitalize. Yeah,
and then the other thing to the show, Nye, is that, okay, so Joe Sr.'s gone. He's been gone for a minute. And then Sylvia passed away. And then Joey Jr. was really supposed to be the one that, I'm going to get into him in a second, by the way, but he was the one that was supposed to carry the torch.
Yes.
Like, he was the one that was kind of groomed to run the label.
Yeah.
And then Leland wasn't even in the music business. I don't know. I don't remember.
He said he didn't. He said he didn't want any parts.
Yeah, he didn't want no parts. I forget what Leland used to do. I know that too. And I'm blanking out.
He said he opened up a business, but they never specified.
Yeah, but it wasn't music. Yeah. He was doing some other shit. So when Joey and his Scoochie died, like, he had to take the business over.
Yeah.
So you also see that, like, he's carrying all this pressure that he didn't want.
Yeah,
because I'm not a musical guy. I don't do music. I never did music. Yeah. Like, I don't do this. Like, but I have to because it's my family's name and I gotta carry it. But like, he really doesn't want to. And then you see the young kids looking at it like, oh, almost like the old lion is getting weak. Like, if I get to him, I can take over the business.
Because
he don't really want it.
Yeah.
But none of them are prepared to do
at all. I mean, if it's just amazing to watch. I mean, and it's clearly set after Empire. Like, Darnell is clearly Hakeem.
Yeah.
And the cousin is clearly, like, the Andre.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, so, I mean, listen, it you know, God bless them. It's not, you know, no shots to them, you know, personally. But it's, it's not a good show.
Yeah.
I really have a problem with a young man
talking to his girl like that. Because if he's talking to her, he's wilding on her.
Oh,
if he's talking to her like he put hands on that girl before.
I was just getting ready to say, all that shit read to me was that he definitely puts hands on her. And in that house, and don't nobody say nothing to him.
Nothing. Because the thing is, he says something, I can't remember what how it came about, but early on when he was talking, maybe kind of doing like the intro part, he said something about, I can't remember the little girl's name now, but he said something about, and she throws a mean punch.
Yeah.
So that means that they fight.
Yeah.
Because he's a small guy.
Yeah, he's tiny.
He's a tiny little nigga. So, like, I bet they scrap it out. Like, and I'm not saying that, you know, because she fights back, that means it's cool. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, they fight.
Yeah.
Regularly. Totally. You know what I'm saying? But this movie made me watch this documentary on iTunes called I Want My Name Back.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's about the Sugar Hill Gang and how the Robinsons, Joey Jr. in particular, like, just was robbed. Joe Sr., they robbed the Sugar Hill Gang blind.
And this is, it's not even just the Sugar Hill Gang.
All of them.
One of the things that I want them to at least acknowledge is that your business is predicated off completely ripping people off, right?
Like, giving them nothing.
Absolutely zero.
Yeah.
Like not even the bare minimum.
Not even $5,
and not even letting up. Like, not even letting up, my man. Like, so, you know, I don't want you, like, guys, let's not pretend like you guys were these heavy-duty music execs. Like, you caught fucking lightning in a bottle at the right time, and you were in the right place, and the sun and the moon and the stars aligned, and boom, you had it. But let's not make it seem like you got, like, the label has been defunct since 86.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you was not Motown.
Y'all were not that sort of label.
And everybody knew, like, even at that point back then, it's like, yo, you go there, you getting ganked.
You're getting nothing. Yeah, nothing. So they own a lot of all that, the Message. Don't they?
Yeah, White Message, Lines.
White Lines.
Obviously, Rappers Delight.
Rappers Delight.
Eighth Wonder.
Come on.
Apache.
They own
all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
And basically, Joey would go out on the road
and act like Master G.
And he was the, air quotes, the new Master G.
Yeah. He would call himself Master G.
Yeah.
And so Master G's in the dock, and he's, you know, both him and Wonder Mike in the dock, and he's, Master G's definitely like, yo, this dude was like walking around telling people he was me, which is crazy because I'm not, like, I'm here, you know? Yeah. And then Wonder Mike, you know, he went through a lot of shit too. And I mean, they both just got robbed. They got robbed blind, and, you know, it's, and then Kaz is in it because Kaz got robbed.
But they never sued. They never did, like, there was never anything.
They signed away, they signed, you know, papers because they didn't know no better. And then, you know, the Robinsons understood the publishing game. They didn't. And then the Robinsons also understood the game of, we have money. So if you sue, we'll stretch it out.
Your
little $10,000 retainer that you just scrounged up from your grandmother, whatever, ain't gonna last but a month, and then we're gonna keep stretching shit out.
And we'll have our lawyer call your lawyer, and they'll put the pressure on them and pretend.
Yeah, settle and all this. Come on.
So it's,
you
know,
I mean, now they're, you know, they're still trying to do some shows. These guys are in their mid, probably the late 50s by now. Yeah. You know, they're trying to do some shows here and there. And Joey, until Joey died, he was still suing them for the name. Like, he wouldn't he would cancel, make them cancel shows, cancel tours. Like, he was just ruthless.
Yeah.
He was, like, vicious, man. So, it's a sad documentary, man.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now?
It's on iTunes.
It is on Netflix too, so check
it out. I want my name back.
I want my name
back. I'm gonna add that to my, so I'm making a list of things to binge watch on Inauguration Day because I refuse to watch any of the coverage.
So what you gonna watch?
So I'm gonna watch the new One Day at a Time reboot on Amazon.
One Day at a Time
was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix.
Like the Phillips One Day at a Time?
Yeah, there's a new version of it with Rita Moreno.
What?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be excellent, actually. Okay. They updated it. It says so it's Rita Moreno, so they made the single mother Spanish and, you know, added some new shit in there. So it came out last week.
Who played Super?
I don't remember. Okay. So I'm gonna watch that, and I'm gonna watch that. I've been on a binge.
You've been watching everything.
I watched everything. Like I told, like we all talked about last week, I've seen 3%, I've seen OA. I have caught all the way up on This Is Us. So I have One Day at a Time. I think maybe I'll go back and like do Mr. Robot or something. Have you watched? Do you watch Mr. Robot?
I heard
it's supposed to be really good. Yeah. So I gotta find some stuff. So that's what I need.
Have you watched? Oh my God, Chewing Gum.
No, oh yeah, you did recommend Chewing Gum. Okay, so I'll add
season. And a new season, I think new season is it's on, it's coming on like this week or something.
So I'll add Chewing Gum to my list.
Yeah.
Speaking of other new, just a segue for a second. Are you guys watching Star, Lee Daniels' new joint?
I haven't seen it.
I watched it.
How was it?
What did you think? I heard it's young. I heard it's a younger audience.
I'm good. I mean, you know, look, man, again, no shots to Lee and what they're doing. I think it's just cheesy. It's not for me. Like, again, I'm a 40-year-old old nigga from Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
If you're like 13 and you're from like the middle of nowhere, this probably seems awesome and very realistic. Right?
It seems kind of cheesy. Even the promo seems very cheesy.
You know what
I mean? But Empire's cheesy, so
whatever. Yeah, so God bless
him. Yeah, so I'm not, but I'm making a list. So as you have your recommendations, Jeff, and listeners, if you have recommendations, like send them to me because I don't even think I can get on the timeline on Friday. Like, I don't want to be...
You didn't
want to
see nothing.
I don't want to be exposed to anything about this. Like, everything makes me so angry. Like, I read what is supposed to be the inaugural poem today.
Oh, yeah, I saw that online. You
like,
put that up, yeah.
Came down from his tower to wrench power from the hands of the tyrant. Like, are you fucking kidding
that nigga,
me?
Man.
So I just can't. It's for my own sake.
Have you been watching Mariah's World?
No.
You should binge that. Trust me.
Are you sure?
This nigga got me into it, then he bailed on me. Yeah. Nigga bailed on me.
I don't know if I can tell.
Trust me.
I can only take Mariah.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's entertaining.
I'm gonna tell you
but
what
it's
it does.
Bizarre.
If you had any questions about what happened on New Year's Eve, it is explained in that show. You're gonna have a scenario of exactly what happened to make those dominoes fall into place for what happened on New Year's
Eve. And what the results of what happened on New Year's will be.
Right.
Like, who's going to fire? Because it's just, you got, I mean, you're going to watch some, I don't want to spoil it, but it's,
check it
it's,
out.
It's, yeah, you should check
try.
It out. It's a good watch. It's just bizarre.
Is it? Okay.
No, it is. It's
okay.
A good,
easy.
It's an easy watch.
Okay.
It's a good watch.
Okay.
It's just kind of like, you know what it is? I mean, it's really the life, and a lot of them live this, like it's a star who's been completely insulated from any type of reality for a long time.
Right.
Like, she, but bless her heart, as bro likes to say, because in her own mind, she thinks she's still, she tries to, like, feel like she's connected to the world.
Okay.
But she's really, not. She's obviously not.
Right.
She's been sitting on a bunch of money.
Right.
For now, sniffing 30 years.
Right.
And she's lives in this bubble with these people. And it also shows the psychology of someone who comes from this horrible, broken family, who wants a family bad.
You just collect people.
And they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because everything to her is family.
Right.
So and, oh, and by the way, she don't really take too good care of them damn kids.
You know what?
Like, and I don't mean that she abuses them.
No, but
those kids are accessories to her.
We're not going to.
Well,
you
watch the show first.
I know. We're not going to talk about people's parental skills.
Yeah. The kids are not bad kids, but it just feels like they do watch the show first. Then we're going to get back to it.
are we going to talk about these fools on Love & Hip Hop?
We're going to do Love & Hip Hop. We're going to do Real Housewives right now.
I need to address the Creep Squad.
Okay, so Love & Hip Hop. That was a season finale, correct?
Was it? No. No, it wasn't.
No, it got to be one more.
There's got to be more because they always wrap everything up at the end. They didn't do that.
You're right. They didn't do the little Chirons.
Like,
I'm reaching for the stars.
Yeah, I'm going for mine.
It's all about me now.
No, we didn't do that bullshit.
It's a little weird about this sort of laughter going on right now.
That's what they do at the end.
Slow motion shots.
Love walking through the park with your hair swinging. Like, you walking down the street.
Sitting in the back of an Uber.
Yeah.
Out the window with Looking the window the half window. Down.
I'm going to chase my dreams. But that's okay.
Peace to Mona me and Jada.
So wait, okay. It is. That's exactly what happens every time. Or like a fake ass rehearsal. A fake ass dance rehearsal.
It's,
you know what I mean? It's slow motion with the choreography and the mic. So, okay. I don't know if I'll start with Yandy or start with... Okay, let me start with the Creep Squad. Fucking Cisco and Peter and Rich and Self.
Yes.
On every nerve that I have right now. Like, I'm so sick of these niggas. And now, not just for the Creep Squad thing, but because suddenly fights over nothing...
Cisco
was doing all of it. Cisco's the baby, but, really it's Cisco, it's all of them. I was gonna say, so Cisco's planting the seeds. Rich, because he's petty as fuck, is letting it ride. Self, who's in over his head and who really ain't built for none of this shit. Self is not built like any of the rest of these kids. Self is actually a good guy.
Self's like a nice guy, kid who's a DJ.
Yeah, he's a nice kid who's a DJ, who's trying to keep up.
He's
not even really a hoe. Like, he does dumb shit, but he's not even really a hoe.
He's goofy. Self is goofy.
Yeah, and we're saying this to people who like know Self, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a nice way. I don't mean this.
And it's like, you know, he's in this now, he's on the show, he's kind of in this lifestyle, you could tell he's kind of trying to keep up.
Yeah.
But he's not really, this isn't really his thing.
It's not his thing.
So then you got Self, you know, quote unquote, kicking Cisco out the Creep Squad, thinking that's something, which sent Cisco into a tizzy, which is ridiculous. And now this week, we got Cisco and Rich fucking crying and shit. What? That shit was so gay, and I don't mean gay like, oh, it's homosexual, y'all niggas gay. I mean, like, that was, like, y'all, that shit was not, that was gay. And I mean it like in a colloquial, not saying it was emasculine for men to embrace each other, no, but this shit is so stupid. It's so stupid, it's so silly, it's so disingenuous. Like, Rich got tears in his eyes for what?
I can't let you drown me, bro.
Yeah, and Cisco talking about how many times I had to say I'm sorry. How many times I had to say my fault? Nigga, last week you just still saying, nigga stabbed you in the back.
Yeah.
What are you talking? You ain't apologized yet.
Yo, the thing about
you
Cisco.
You taking it out on other people.
The thing about Cisco is he's slick with it because he'll do all the foul shit in the world.
Throw rocks, hot hands.
And then her hot hands come with, you know, his head hanging down and be sad with the puppy dog face. You don't know what I'm going through. Yeah. And I, you know,
I lost my daughter.
And if his mom, if his mom is sickly now, I'm not even gonna talk about his mother.
That's like I should do with this though. In my opinion,
that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish her well, and I pray for her, and I mean that sincerely. But like, that has nothing to do with you being a piece of shit.
And it had nothing to do with you going around the chicks planting little salt bombs.
You going to Mariah? You going to the other girl? You going to Tyra? This is some little kid shit.
And also,
the other thing is, and it's just about the Cisco again, as far as all the things that he's lost. As far as him losing his children, not basically his children, from the television show anyway, then that's your fault.
Yes.
Like, you treated that girl like pure shit.
Yes.
You was bringing Dal Strawberry's daughter around. Like, you was wildin'.
Yeah,
like,
and you wanted to go to Atlanta, and you wanted it to be whenever you show up,
it's like, we play family. Yeah. You know, you suck me off, we have a great time, go to the movies, and then on Sunday, I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
And I ain't leaving too much behind. Here's a little paper. I'm on a plane. And you can't fuck nobody.
Right.
You can't stay right here. You can stay right here away from me until I come back down in four and a half months.
Right. And then the other thing is, this is what kills me. And Sean, I know you can't explain this, but I'm still going to look to you to explain this because you're the only one me representative in the room. Every time the whatever newest random rapper, singer, whatever,
everybody
shows up on the show, and they're at a rehearsal. This has happened so many. I really need to go back and see how many times this happened. And they have a rehearsal, and they say, "Wait, let me finish." And they say, "I asked a friend of mine to come by who's really influential in the industry.
Yeah.
It's Cisco." Who influential in what industry? Where? I live here. I've been in this game forever. That I only know that nigga from showing up at clubs and giving me a hard time at the door. What?
I got a question, bro.
What?
Where y'all be having these showcases at? Cause I don't never hear about them. Like, I'd be like, oh, where was this? Be like, oh, we're having a big show tonight. Everybody's coming to see, Mariah Lynn.
I'm gonna premiere my single.
Premiere my single and my video. I'm like, where y'all be doing this shit?
Where's the Gwennon showcases? So, I ain't never seen a Gwennon flyer.
I ain't never seen a
Gwennon.
What the
fuck does Gwennon self? What does Gwennon mean?
I think it means winning with a G. I don't know. Listen, although I have to say this,
though. When is Summer Jam pre-stage? Is that before the stage in the parking lot? Is that the stage off the turnpike before you actually get to the
parking lot? I have to say this, though. We're getting so off track. We'll get back. I actually thought that little Mariah Lynn crazy ass little song was catchy.
She was just trying to rap like Nicki.
Not long ago, I was a hoe. I thought that was catchy. I didn't say she's dope. That little song was catchy. Anyway, we're way off track. Listen, the Cree Squad shit to me is, look, man, I'm all down for having homeboys and doing your thing and hanging out and fellowshipping as men and all that, but these niggas are like
terrible.
Arrested development, though. It's like you niggas, Peter's 50 at least. Rich is in his mid-40s. Cisco looks to me probably in his early 40s, 41, 42.
Yep.
And you guys are acting like you're like 12 years old. Yes.
You actually...
And we have to have a meeting.
I actually found...
Talking about my nigga, like meeting?
Yeah, like...
Meeting with you, nigga? Get the fuck
Cisco,
out of here.
Cisco rolling up on basketball courts, walking in slow motion. With his sunglasses on at night. Get the fuck out of here. And
I'm here, right? I actually found a...
On Time Hop, a tweet where we were talking about this a while ago, and you called the Creep Squad bananas niggas giving bananas niggas advice. That's really what it is.
You going to Peter for advice?
For anything?
Really?
Or going to Rich for anything? None of them. It's so blind leading the blind. It's horrific.
It's interesting.
Even with Atlanta, as fucked up as Kurt and Stevie Jacques and them can be and Jacques, they got more sense than these motherfuckers.
Yeah, they just, Stevie and them, I mean, well, Stevie's bananas, but like...
Stevie knows he's clear on his bananas.
Yeah, and they just be goofing.
Yeah.
Let's go play golf and act silly. Like, they're silly. These niggas is like, they're trying to be serious. Like,
yeah.
They're trying to be like, no, this is really...
We're clown broads. Like, Mariah Lynn, who you ain't getting a fight over, really?
Fighting over Mariah Lynn.
Over Mariah Lynn.
Then Peter...
I'm sorry.
I guess the Peter and Tara.
Or over Diamond Strawberry, even like
Peter, and she was gone off the show.
Yeah,
Peter and Tara making a thing next week. So who has the baby?
I think Tara's pregnant. The rumor is that Tara's pregnant, and if you look in Tara's face,
she was fat.
She looked pregnant, and if you look,
I thought this nigga got his nuts cut.
Didn't he back out? He backed out.
Bro, did he get his nuts cut?
I totally don't have no idea about that shit.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. You're deaf.
Did I think he backed out? Anyway.
What's her name been on all season, have you noticed?
None of them were supposed to be on this season.
What's her name? From Germany.
Amina. Amina lives in L.A. now.
Half song.
Amina. She lives in L.A. now, but none of them were supposed to be on this season. They just getting little looks. They not holding peaches.
So Amina moved to L.A.
Amina lives in L.A.
She's out.
I mean, I don't, you can't tell with these motherfuckers. I don't know. I don't know.
Wait. Let's deal with the soft spot of Yandy and them.
So, Yandelee, which is her real name. Yandelee. Yeah, it's something like that. I think it's Yandelee. So, Yandy has been walking around, as we discussed. Wife this, wife that. And, you know, as we know, she's not really married to him in D.C. Mm-hmm. She's been wanting to stunt and, like, pull a little rank on these girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, I know her and Samantha never got along. And it is true that she does treat Lil Man D.C.'s like that's her son. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's not just like we're blended family, this is my son. But it's like his mother ain't shit, this is my son.
Yeah, exactly. I took over because
right.
She wasn't
shit. So that's a little different, right? Mm-hmm. But this chick, Erica, a lot of people have been saying, I've been looking online, a lot of people have been like, yo, I'm here for, they've been calling her Great Value Mashonda. Like, I'm here for Great Value Mashonda. Like, I'm here for her because she calls Yandy on her shit stuff. But Erica got a huge chip on her shoulder, B.
Well, she does. You know why?
Well, because she was always the side chick.
Well, that's the thing.
But she says Yandy was the side chick.
Exactly.
I've heard that before, talking about the show. Yeah.
According to her, this is what they say on the show, she was dating Mendezi's first.
Right.
And then, I don't know, they had the issues, whatever. Yandy somehow came to the picture. Then he was dating both of them. And then, which is why their children are not that far apart in age. Because he had them pregnant around the same time. And so she looks at Yandy like, you call me the side piece, but you really came in between my relationship. Now, again, right. That's what she says. I wasn't there. I'm just saying what she says. And that's why she's got that chip. And I don't think it's a chip basically on wanting Mendezi's back. Maybe.
I don't think it's wanting Mendezi's back. Been co-parenting, but she definitely has been. Like, she's been publicly shaded, right? Like, Yandy and Mendezi have painted this picture like it's been them and their love has conquered all. And, you know, clearly, Erica's kid and Yandy's son with Mendezi. Mm-hmm. They're around the same age.
Yeah, they are.
And matter of fact, I remember when we were all watching the wedding, I was like, who is that? Because she was standing up. I was like, I was doing math in my head. Yeah. I was like, wait, which? I was counting. I was like, which kid is that? Because that was the first time most of us
knew
there was another one.
She doesn't let him be on the show too much.
But, I mean, we never even heard reference, you know what I mean, to it. Now, I do remember people who know Yandy say, yes, Yandy was the side who became the main.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people would say all that matters is
who won at the end.
Like, what happened at the end. You know what I mean? What happened at the end? Because even Erica said it herself, Mendezi's cheated on everybody. All the timelines overlap. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting this week when Mendezi's called Sam in the car and he's trying to bark on her. He's like, yo, why you teamed up with Erica? You know I used to be fucking her while we was together. And Sam, to her credit, was like, yo, B, that was like 10 years ago. I don't really care. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. She was like, why are you not calling me to ask me about your son? Why are you calling me to ask me about this bullshit?
Like, she's like, Mendezi's is fine.
Yeah.
Thanks. He's doing blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
he's doing this in school. And why are you calling me?
Now, what's interesting about Samantha is that then it's come out that Samantha's taping conversations. So she's like, she's really out here on the island. Like, I'm not fucking with none of y'all.
Because Judy's face when she said, I taped you.
Yeah,
too, Judy.
Judy was like,
Because, you know, Judy. You know, again, Judy, I'm just talking shit.
Judy be talking out both sides of her mouth, I'm sure.
Judy, old Harlem lady.
Yeah.
You know how that go.
Yep.
A lot of gossip. And you said, when Judy get on that phone with Sam, I bet that conversation is way different than when she on that phone with Yandy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep, I agree.
I'm assuming.
But I will say, you know, at least Judy takes Yandy's position in public.
She
takes Yandy's side in public.
She does.
But you're right. Probably some shit. Guy said. But like, okay. So, but going back to the Erica. But going back to the Erica chick, right? So Erica has a birthday party for the kid. Erica's thing is, I know word got back to Yandy that this party was happening, so I expect to see her kids. No, bitch. Pick up the phone.
Yeah. But invite the kids. She wasn't gonna do that.
I know, but that's, but then you want to say, Yandy knew. No, technically Yandy was not. Yandy's right. She wasn't invited. If you didn't invite me, if you didn't tell anybody else to tell me, then my kids weren't invited.
No,
don't
I
be
agree.
Like, no, I knew about it. How do you know? You don't know I knew about it, you know?
It was petty. And Erica's.
She's petty.
But she's definitely petty. Erica doesn't want to be around. She doesn't like Yandy and all. She doesn't want to be around Yandy and all. But it's getting to be a weird space because the kids should be able to be siblings.
Right. And especially,
and that's the weird space.
Lumen DC is used to being with his brother and sister.
Absolutely. And
so
now he's
that,
not.
I don't know regularly. I don't know about Erica's kid, but Lumen DC is used to being with his brother and sister. So that's like, and I'm not even saying that from the show. I'm saying that like,
we've seen him in the street.
So that's rough.
It's getting weird. So, I mean, yeah, we got more episodes next week, and you know, you're right. I remember the highlights now for next week, and we got Black Ink is on tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tonight is.
And apparently, it's a
2-hour one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a double episode.
Okay.
It's a double episode. I saw that on the TV thing, and we got PMA Jane tonight. I don't know, y'all niggas don't care. Have and Have Nots, phenomenal last week.
Nigga, I might watch Have and Have Nots before I watch any more Mary Jane.
You know, go on, watch Have and Have Nots then. Go on, pick it up.
Call Sister Jenkins. Have me a little church party.
Come on now. Leave it alone. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. Real quick.
Matt need to go to jail.
Yeah. No. I agree with that.
No.
I'm bugging on Kenya being so... he just needs some help. I was like, really? Say, like, get your shit in.
The last few episodes that I've seen, it feels to me like there is a clear underlying tone of, we don't want to have the law involved with the black men. No matter how violent they are, it is a don't call the police. And what I am afraid of and what I hate to see is that, again, we are putting our women
in harm's way,
and they are making harmful decisions to protect us.
Even though this nigga is doing
everything possible to show you that he will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Like, this nigga is crazy.
You know, Matt's the nigga that, if Kenya does start to date another nigga, Matt's the nigga that'll sneak in the house while this other nigga's in the house and kill both of them.
Well, I had a question.
Everybody.
But I had a question.
Everybody going.
I had a question, and I didn't want to put it on Twitter, but I was like, why hasn't Kenya changed her gate code?
The gate code is irrelevant in a sense.
Does she have a gate? It is. Yes, she does.
She has a security gate. This is the second time Matt has rolled up on your house when you're not there and fucked your shit up.
Because I think, again, from watching the show,
she keeps thinking they're going to work it out.
Yeah, she's not. She still won't really like break off from this.
And it's the gate. We're using that term relative.
I know, it's not a gate.
I'm saying he can jump. He can literally.
Yeah.
Hop the fence, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like she has...
10-12 foot fence.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. She has a gate where you can't drive into the driveway.
But she definitely...
I mean, he can get access to... And she's in the fucking woods. I mean, I'm sure he's worked on the house. He's got to know.
He knows the other pieces.
I know all the ways into my house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Trees.
All that. Yeah, go down here. Follow the sewer line. There you go.
Watch that little ditch right there.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, but like he did massive damage.
He not even massive. This isn't even that is financial shit.
This reunion conversation is going to be
that is property. But my question is, because, and I'm gonna be a little fair, like, we are held at a certain standard, right? Like, mm-hmm. when this sort of, like, this level of domestic violence is unreal.
Yeah.
for television. This shit is unreal.
Yeah.
This is not an argument that sort of blew up. Yeah. And like the kid Darnell, he blows up, right? But it's kind of like, that I'm cringing.
Yeah.
But I can't really put all of that together right now. There was no doubt in my mind. Like this, he has shown you every possible sign.
He showed you who he is.
And then they're going into this way of like defending him and saying that, you know, he doesn't need, you know, jail is going to make it worse. And
who said that shit?
Phaedra.
What part of the game is that?
If you watch the last couple of seasons, that there has been a consistent, you know, our black man and Black Lives Matter.
That's why Phaedra lies the
yes, but she,
black
but even but yeah. even when Glenn Rice and them other that boy started losing his shit over there. Glenn Robinson, like all I'm saying is them they all like sort of fall in line with that shit.
Yeah. Right.
Even when they know it's wrong.
They just be like, yo, just tell them leave.
Like, and it's not like these are not women that don't have exit. Like, Todd don't be doing that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, even Peter.
I was going to say Peter.
Peter don't do that.
Right? Like, none of them, none of those men.
Old Greg.
Greg, the bunions be hurt, man. He ain't got time to be fighting.
Come on out, young. Come on out, big man.
But I'm just saying, like dude, like you punching drivers.
Yeah.
Like you doing, like, he needs to be in jail.
No doubt.
Like, mainly because, like, listen, man, you want to break her windows and she's cool with that shit, that's okay, man. But that's a fucking man earning a living. And for you to punch him in his face, like I'm pressing all the fucking charges. Every charge that's possible.
He wants to do a number driving a car.
I'm pressing all the motherfuckers. Yeah. I will call the authorities on your motherfucking ass. That's a taxpaying citizen. And for him to behave like that, like that shit is unreal. And for them to just be so,
like, because I remember he said that with the driver, he said that when he called Peter, he was like, hey, brother.
Right.
Nah, because I was just trying to talk to Kenya, and he put the window up on my head. It's like, yo, my man, you put your half your body in his car and was trying to get in his passenger who's back there frightened to death.
What are we, let it ride. Listen, like I said, he gonna keep that behavior up
until he catch
and
L.
He gonna I'm gonna tell you what he gonna do. He gonna start yelling at Mr. Willie, one of them old country niggas down there with snub nose in that boot.
Yep.
And they gonna go to that ankle holster.
Yep.
And they gonna lay five or six in this motherfucking ass.
And Kenny gonna be like, you ain't had to shoot him like that, Lord! Somebody call the ambulance!
Call the ambulance, not call the ambulance.
But Matt, don't go! Don't leave that me shit here alone!
That shit was crazy.
It was crazy, B.
So, but
it was crazy.
What do we think about Cynthia's goodbye to the house?
I mean, I thought it was, look, I'm gonna sound like the old nigga here, but that Noelle be just a little too grown for me sometimes.
She is, she
loves
sassy.
And I like her, she's a nice girl, she seemed, you know, like a smart gal. It's a little sassy, man. I'm like, Cynthia, but that comes from Cynthia.
That comes from Cynthia. Cynthia treats her like a friend.
I was going to say,
that's not your friend, Cynthia. That's your daughter.
Like, that feels like, you know, she, you know, Cynthia down there with Mallory, and they drinking wine and talking shit, and she lingering.
Just lingering, because I did that as
I'm saying, like
but
I mean, lingering
out, Noelle
and then jumping into the convo.
But even as Cynthia has talked to Noelle, not that I expect to see somebody literally scold their child on television, right?
But all of the
parent-children conversation, like, think about Nene and her son. She'd be like, you done lost your damn mind. When you find your damn mind, please come talk to me. You know what I mean? Like that. And not that Noelle is a problem child, but every conversation, when Cynthia talks to her about Peter, when Cynthia
too
talks to her about her, like, it's very adult. Noelle's a kid. And also, you can tell
that
Cynthia...
Was she, like, 15?
Yeah, 16. But you can also tell that Cynthia... I'm not sure if there's some... Because it seems like there's a very functional relationship with, like, Noelle and her dad and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's something Cynthia feels like she's got to overcompensate for, but you can tell that Noelle's very spoiled. Like, even when they were talking about Noelle taking down, like, her little mural on her wall, he was like, I mean, can we just put it in a pod? Can we just... I mean, I want
to
take the wall.
She wants to take the whole wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't understand. Can we just...
And Cynthia's like, well, take a picture of it, which is a good idea, but, like, most women would have been like, no.
Right.
And go start packing your shit. This conversation's over. Like, it wasn't like I'm not making compromises.
Or like when they were at the house.
I think you nailed something. I think that because, you know, she's not with Leon, and now she's obviously not with Peter, I think she does kind of overcompensate because she hasn't been able to keep that male figure around consistently.
And I do feel like I felt in that little bit of a moment we saw with Noelle and Peter, we hadn't seen a lot of just Noelle and Peter before. I feel like I felt some deference from Noelle to Peter that I don't feel with Noelle and her mom.
She was very respectful, and she was very hurt that he hadn't reached out. Like, she was kind of, you know, she was really, like, sad. Like, damn, like, dude, I know you're with my mom's no more, but, like, I've been rocking with you since I was, like, 11, you know what I'm saying, or 10 or whatever it was, like, or 8 even, like, really a long time. Yeah, she was a kid, so, like, he was hurt, so, but, I mean, the house going goodbye thing was, I mean, I thought
it was a little, you know.
A little much.
It was definitely a little much. They definitely played it up. Yeah, they were definitely, like, talk about some stuff that happened in the house.
Yeah, I mean, God bless him.
So we saw Marlo come back.
Yeah, but doing a lot. You know what?
We don't need her.
Kenya's a lot. But in this case, and even if it wasn't sincere, which I think kind of was, Kenya was trying to just talk to her and apologize. And Marlo kept ODing, like, I ain't trying to hear nothing you got to say. You a little nene. And Kenya's like, yo, but I pulled you to the side to really apologize to you. And she's like, nah, you cut the bullshit. Get out of here. She made me feel bad for Kenya. But
maybe
from a woman's perspective, it's like about to be different.
Well, I was just going to say that. I thought about it, right? And there was a time when Kenya latches on to a new girl in the group every season. Last season it was Kenya.
True.
And then before that, it was Marlo. Like, her and Marlo was a little freaky frack, and they was a little dressy up, and they was a little whatever, whatever. And when Marlo was falling out with Kenya, she was with...
Was Kenya with Nene?
I mean, with Nene, she was hanging out with Kenya, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were bonding. So, you mean to tell me Kenya, well, all your housewarmings and your twirlings and your what... It didn't cross your mind to invite Marlo? Why? Because she's not part of cast? Because she's not getting camera time? Because she's not... So, my thing is, Atlanta is this big.
Yeah, as big as this room.
So, it sounds like either you got your man and you ain't give a fuck, or Marlo was just out of mind because she was off camera. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's your girl...
It shouldn't matter.
Like, if somebody who I call my girl, like, we've been through some shit, you have a housewarmer, you don't invite me, you have some other shit, like, you like some real shit, you don't invite me, but then you want to pull me over at a pop-up shop that you didn't know I was going to be at. As soon as I walk through the door, you want to pull me over all of a sudden because now you see me and now it's on your mind to apologize to me? Like, you ain't reach out, you ain't do nothing?
I mean, look, I'm indifferent. Like, you know,
I don't think it needs to be that bad, but I think that was about more, because she was really hurt when Nene and her
stopped
fucking with
each
other.
I don't know about any of that. She's extra. She needs camera time. She was fake hurt. She apologized. Sort of was what it was. The girl, the lady, if that's your people, it's like, I don't necessarily know that Jeff is going to go through the process of buying a house. That I gotta then find out that there was a house purchased, and you had some shit on Twitter, right? Like, not
on
when
the
you're
gram.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think that people use friends, and this is something that I talked about over
friends?
My week. Not just the word friends, but every relationship has its place, and not every friend is on the same tier level.
Right.
So what I would do for you guys is not something that I would necessarily do for somebody that I still would call a friend and I still may have over to break bread with.
Right.
But if you niggas call me and say, yo, I need to go move my car, car got towed, then somebody else, I might be like, I might send a little Uber for you or something. Uber pool, nigga. You got
shit. I mean, I guess I think the thing with Kenya, I don't think Kenya's capable of genuine friendship because
she's wild.
She's so self-centered and she's so damaged.
Yeah, but I don't think that Marlo is either. If we're using the show, because I don't know them outside of the show. If we're using the show, then that is the same case literally for all of
them.
That's
valid. But going back to Kenya as an example, and I get it, they don't tape the confessionals at the same time as to tape the show or whatever. But literally, King is like, okay, Marlo, I gotta go back to my clients, and you know, not your kind of clients. I ain't got no old white men in my line.
Well, like, I've been in the holster. No, that was in the holster. No, yeah. That was in the holster. Like, she been waiting on that.
But yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you got one of those tucked away for everybody that's supposed to be your
girl. But they all got one tucked away for her too. True. Like, they all, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
She matches their petty with the petty, right? And we can sort of figure out, like, who was petty first, right?
Right, right.
But they're all swimming in that same pool.
Yeah.
None deeper than the other. Right. It's all the same shit.
I like Portia with her with the weave.
She looks great with her hair short.
Yeah.
She looks fantastic with her hair short.
She's a good looking girl. God damn. She's goofy as fuck, but she's bad now.
Yeah.
She's good looking now.
Bless her.
One is around the show up with, just obviously it was Martin Luther King's birthday. Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, the actual birthday was over the weekend.
Celebration was yesterday. And so, you know, it's very interesting because, we've talked about this before, because as time goes on, it's going to happen with Ali and some others too. It's happened with Bob Marley. And we kind of keep mentioning black people who were kind of looked upon as rabble-rousers or militants.
Mm-hmm.
And as they died and got old, they became
softened. Legacies been softened,
and the legacies of Martin Luther King, and so many people, black and white, to be honest with you, use Martin Luther King as this kind of like the easy check, you know, for whatever. Like if Martin Luther King wouldn't like Black Lives Matter, Martin Luther King would have sat down with Donald Trump and been his friend. Martin Luther King would have like it's like whatever. Basically, to me, white folks basically say like whatever heinous shit we do, Martin Luther King would have accepted.
Well, this is
so why don't you?
Well, this is what I said yesterday, because I got into a thing on Twitter with this. There's this columnist from the Boston Herald who wrote a piece yesterday about how Trump is going to be good for black people. And
that's crazy.
And published it yesterday because it's MLK. Okay. And when I called him on it, like, he actually responded to me.
Okay.
And but I was like, this is woefully inappropriate, especially on MLK Day. And I was basically like, it's inappropriate for you as a white man, for any of y'all white people, to keep trying to tell us as people of color what's good for us, especially when we keep telling you it's not.
Yeah.
Right? For you to keep insisting that it is. And you're making this argument based on two flimsy facts. One, that he went to speak at one black church, and then that he wrote some kind of new deal.
It was like 30 people there.
Yeah, and that he wrote some kind of new deal. But he said, like, it was, like, far beyond anything any Republicans done. I'm like, that's not true. There's plenty of Republicans who've done far more for their constituents. But he did that. He was like, and I was like, in the nerve of you to do it on King Day. Like, mm-hmm. this was... like the strategy, timeliness was strategic. And he was like, well, I think that, you know, an honest discourse on race would be what King wanted. And I was like, okay, so about that. And I said basically the same thing you said, and I said this in an Instagram post later. At this point, non-black Americans and people around the globe honestly have taken pieces of the dream speech. Just small pieces. They haven't even read the whole thing, let alone the hundreds of other sermons, whatever that King gave over his life. And they look at just the parts that say, love one another, only love can drive out hate. And they use this now to pacify us, or to chastise us, or to criticize us. It's either King wouldn't like that, or King would have wanted this, or like he's like this spiritual grandfather. Like, your grandfather would be so disappointed in you. When they don't actually understand the fullness of who he was and what he wanted. So my first thing always is, you want to talk to me about King, like, go read Letters from a Birmingham Jail and then come back to me.
See,
like, you're not going to read shit else.
My
read
first thing is
to
always to that is, I mean, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Letters is an excellent one. My thing to that always is,
he talks about how much white people get on his nerves. That's why I told him.
My thing is always like, okay, yeah, but y'all shot him in his fucking neck.
Well, that too. And I said
like,
that too.
Like, so what did that, what y'all think of as this love and trying to do, because love drives out hate and turn of the cheek and all of us come together. Y'all shot him in his neck on a balcony.
Well, I said that
him.
Too. I
so
was
what
like,
did it matter?
I said he was an enemy of the state.
Yeah,
he was an enemy of the state. Phones tapped. You know, intimidated. You know, Hoover and them was trying to get him to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sending all kinds of shit to his wife. You know what I mean? Like, brother's house got blown up, crosses burned on his yard. Like,
she got
and then
stabbed.
You killed him
like,
at 31.
Stabbed.
Like,
and you know, and don't forget, like, wait, what you just said about something got blown up. Or he just said
his brother's house got blown up.
Yeah, he said something. I was gonna make a point about it, but I'm blanking.
But you talking about Merle? I mean, Megger?
No. I was talking about King, but I forget what it was. It'll come back to me. Yeah, but the bottom line is that y'all killed him.
Yeah.
So what did it matter?
Had y'all motherfuckers who love being like King wouldn't have liked that. Had y'all actually been alive back then, y'all would have been talking cold shit about him too.
All of them.
I'd be ignoring the fuck out of them white folks.
I'm so sick of their ass.
And there was a post that was they took in like maybe like 1965. Mm-hmm. It was like 85% of the people thought that the civil rights movement was a detriment.
Yeah.
Like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that's literally
all y'all.
Right now. But that's literally right now. If you took that poll right now, it might not be 85%, but it ain't going to be far off.
Yeah, no. Be the same shit. And it's like, they love to be like, he didn't loot, he didn't riot. Black Lives Matter isn't looting and rioting. Other people are doing it in their name. And just like back then, it wasn't necessarily the people involved in the civil rights movement that were looting and rioting. But looting and rioting was happening because it's the voice of the oppressed, right?
Exactly.
So it's like...
And again, y'all shot him down dead in the street.
Yeah,
like
y'all shot him down in the
street. What are y'all really saying? Like,
and then,
he died at 39. He didn't get to his 40th birthday.
Right.
But y'all put a bullet in his neck.
Right.
But now we're supposed to all be...
Like, literally.
And we're also to be not like him because he was a great man. But we're supposed to be like y'all's version of him.
Yeah.
Which is like, whatever we do, just take
Let's
that
just
L.
It out.
Just take that L. I know I punched you in your face. I'm sorry.
Be the bigger
L.
man. You'll be the bigger person.
I kicked your son. Take that L. I know I burned your house down.
You should
take
forgive
that
me.
L.
Yeah.
Forgive me because King would have wanted it. It's like,
Fuck? King wouldn't have wanted divisiveness. And that's why I say I turned the letters into Birmingham jail because it specifically says how sick he is of white people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'd be like, read that shit and then come back to me. But also, like, in the midst of all of this, and we didn't mention this and all the other Trump's craziness, you know, John Lewis comes out and says that he's protesting Trump's inauguration, which even that seems like some new shit, but it's not, because both of Nixon's inaugurations were protested, and actually both of Bush's inaugurations were protested on a much lesser level. Nixon's shit was like hard bite. They was throwing rocks at Agnew's car and all kind of shit. But Trump, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that Trump is going to come at John Lewis. Like, there's just no way. But...
Your
Trump
man.
Comes for John Lewis.
And then folks, it's Trump's press secretary and others are basically saying, yo, John Lewis needs to apologize.
Like, you're like, fucking kidding me.
Like,
And literally pundits on the news, somebody, like a couple of different times, pundits on the news are like, imagine if a Republican had come out and called Obama illegitimate, and everybody's like, your man. You know what I mean? Like,
he did it
for the whole 8 years, and they're like, oh, well, that's not
That's different. That's different.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, so... Pray for everybody on Friday to have a peaceful day and not get driven insane by the foolishness of watching man mouth. We're gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna go and watch Being Mary Jane, even though he's too.
Oh
he's
shit! I still gotta watch
these two ninjas ain't.
I'm gonna watch Taboo.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm taping Taboo.
Yeah, I'm gonna
see that. I really want to see that. We'll see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.